Good morning. Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name." God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped God's servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham and Sarah, and to their descendants forever. And Mary remained with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned to her home. God's word is life.
Just in time before we get to tomorrow night, we hear Mary's song. Just in time before a great hush fills that stable, the way the sheer wonder of a newborn child moves a laboring mother from howling to near speechless. Just in time ahead of that, today Mary's voice takes center stage, her song soaring free as a bird. Just in time, for without her song, we might otherwise have shown up tomorrow night rather unprepared. Her song, you see, as you might have noticed, is not a sweet lullaby, but a revolutionary cry. She's singing about the reorienting work of God that is on its way through the child she is carrying in her womb. It's not new work, this reorienting of our lives. For generations, this has been God's call through the prophets, holding up the vision of shalom, the well-being of the world, the land, its peoples, all creation, that we would live out that vision of justice, where peace and plenty are enjoyed by all. Perhaps what frees Mary to sing with such exuberant praise is her sensing that this vision, while long in coming, has not been forgotten nor abandoned, but is still God's intention and very much alive. So alive and present, it's living and growing right within her own body, in and through this child that she now carries. We hear her sing of the wonder, too, that she of all people, she in her poverty, is somehow chosen to bear this hope into the world. And you may have felt this yourself when the words you are singing feel like your own. They might have been given to you by someone else, but you are in them and they are in you. So here is Mary singing with that deep down conviction, giving voice to the hearts and hungers of generations of people like herself, for whom injustice has long been the norm. She's singing about a new day coming as though she can see it, can taste it. No wonder she begins, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." This is an ecstatic Mary. By the time we reach her tomorrow night, the air is a bit different. We see Mary pondering in her heart all that the shepherds are saying. Her heart is open to their wonder, their joy, their affection. Yet months have passed since she sang with such abandon. In the meantime, there's been whatever she's faced as an unwed pregnant woman. There's been her extremely untimely and arduous journey, thanks to an emperor who gives no thought or care to a young Jewish pregnant woman. And now here she is in this unlikely birthing room. In the journey from ecstasy to pondering, no doubt there's been a growing realization that to share in God's reorienting work, while long awaited and dearly yearned for, is not easy. But then there's the safe arrival of the child. And for a time at least, his tiny, tender vulnerability consumes her, consumes us. As newborns do, they melt our hearts, call out of us our adoring, our joy, at least our care. For many, this is where the story ends tomorrow night. A gentle knock on the door of the human heart, evoking tenderness, a thought for another, an act of generosity, acts of charity perhaps, most of which allow us to stay in our place and keep others in theirs, giver and receiver, rich and poor, high and low. Meanwhile, if we carried Mary's song with us to the stable door, we'd realize that what we are beholding there in that newborn flesh is massive disruption of the way things are. The coming of this child sets in motion the lifting up of the lowly, the restoring of dignity and honor where that has been stripped away, the granting of a seat at the table, a voice in the conversation. The coming of this child sets in motion the disruption of power structures, humbling the mighty, rulers dethroned, the scattering of the proud, the rich being relieved of their wealth. It's not a change of places, but rather a great leveling where all have access to the means of life. That's what Mary sang in her exuberance. And do you recall she sang it as though it is already accomplished? The lowly have been lifted, the mighty have been toppled. Believing that a new world is being knit together in her own womb, and that the child that she bears will make all the difference, Mary lets her imagination carry her to see the fullness of this dream. Yes, this hard world is real and miserable, and she knows that is not all there is to see and say. The suffering and injustice are horrific, and they are decidedly not the will of God. So Mary sings undaunted, the tyrants dethroned, poor bellies filled, mercy extended to the umpteenth generation, because the seed of God's new world is as real as the child growing in her womb. This is Mary's gift to us. Before we ever get to tomorrow night, the way she allows that vision of God's promised future to fill her imagination, to empower her action, even while the world around her smacks of a world bent on death and destruction. The way she sings it out there for others to catch it, to imagine it, to wrap our lives around it. I love how Mary Ludi goes on to say this. You don't have to be a woman, much less a pregnant one, to imagine what Mary imagines. But we can't imagine anything at all, anything true, that is, if we can't see beyond our own privilege to notice and confess that things in the world are not the way God intends. We can't imagine anything true at all if we can't contain our getting and spending so that we can receive with an uncluttered heart the vision and hope of God's new way. We can't imagine the new thing God has in store for us if we don't allow our souls to be touched, pierced even, by the unspeakable misery and breathtaking beauty of the world and all its creatures. If we don't put ourselves somehow regularly in the company of suffering people, of real amazing joy. We can't imagine a new way of life if we try to go it alone, without the generations of faithful people alongside us, without a community within whom we faithfully practice imagining, a community within which are told and retold 1,000 times the stories of God's dream. Just in time, before we arrive tomorrow night at the stable door, fearing that we have gone too far, yet hoping against hope that somehow there is possibility of redemption, only to find there a tender, vulnerable, newborn baby, and our heart sinks as we wonder, what good is that amidst the cruel and crippling announcements of bombastic rulers and slippery decision makers on whom the world is waiting, bracing for their next move. Well, just in time today, we let Mary's voice rise above all the others, announcing a deeper truth, another storyline. No wonder she sang it, the way words can ride on the contours of notes, penetrating even guarded hearts in ways that words by themselves might not enter us. And so this morning, let us join Mary. Let's intone her song with her. And as we sing, may we see with her that old fox Herod, jittery and wobbling on his lofty throne. You can find words that we can join in Mary's song in the More Voices hymn book. It's there at number 120 in the More Voices hymn book.